Some things going on this week, and I just find myself trusting him more and more. You know, I don't fret too much over things. I know he's got it. You know, it's like I can't lose. I really can't. I just trust him with everything. So,
amen.
Go ahead.
I have faith as well, and I said if I don't move right now, I'm gonna sit in that seat. And I trust God too much to just sit down and not say thank you. Thank you for allowing me to understand this message and just have a drive to be here. When you preached on those three protections the other day, I was thinking about that. It's like insurance. You know, it's like, you know, everybody's going to help you before you walk out that door. Just use that protection. And if I'm going to be here, I want to participate, whether I'm singing, whether I'm clapping. I just don't want to sit down too long because I will be complacent, and I don't want to be complacent on God ever.
Amen. First of all, I just want to tell God I'm so grateful that and humbled and honored that he allowed me to come back in this door. And I was on the wake-up call this morning because a lot of people weren't on the wake-up call this morning. So that means if I was on the wake-up call, he has something for me to do. So I'm just so thankful for that. And I'm so thankful for everything that he has done for me. This revelation has strengthened me. It's just agreeing with the word, and the word will take care of it. Right. You will have to submit to the word and apply it, but it does the job. Yes. So I'm just so thankful. And I just have a quick testimony. Yesterday I came home, I had worked the long hours, and I told my husband, I said, I got something in my head. And he felt it. He said, you have a huge knot. Did you fall? Did something happen? I was like, nope, nothing happened. He said, where did this knot come from? And I was like, I don't know. So he just touched it. He said, let's pray. We prayed, but I kept walking. I was like, So in my thinking, and this is just me, I don't call Satan. I don't, you know, people say, oh, Satan. It's kind of like to me, have you ever seen Lion King? And they say, Mufasa. And everybody gets scared, you know? it's a scare tactic. And it's trained to scare you. And so what I call it is the other, because God created it. I just say the other. So when my husband, he prayed and I kept walking, I said, you know what, other? I got things to do. I said, you know what? I am called to get the dead up for number one. And for number two, the prophet says, still plant your potatoes, even if you know that God is coming tomorrow. So I got two jobs. But one is more important than the other one. One is spiritual and one is natural. And I'm going to hold on to my job. So I just kept walking. Did I think about it? No. Did my husband say, oh, let me check it? I didn't even check it. I did what I had to do, went to bed, got up this morning, and it was gone. And I was just like, and so then the other comes and says, oh, but it really wasn't nothing. And I said, regardless, God's the healer. whether you believe it's something or not. God's the only healer. Amen. So whether it was something or nothing, Amen. God took it away. So I am just so thankful and grateful for this revelation that we can stand on the word Amen. And keep walking. I don't have to keep checking it, seeing if it's okay, seeing what's matter.
Amen.
He said it. He said by his stripes, we were already healed. So we don't have to keep checking. We just stand on that word. That word has the power. So I just thank him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
I want to say something. I just can't hold my peace in this place because, I mean, not for long, because there's just so much to be grateful for. You know, no matter what kind of condition I come in this place, I'm always ready to praise him.
Amen.
I always have a loaded amen. Don't get it twisted. I came here to praise him.
Amen.
We're the last, the final voice to the final age,
amen.
And all we have to do is praise. I'm going to make the loudest. I want all that's above mm-hmm. and all below to hear me.
Amen.
Every time I speak, it's thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
I believe every single word that comes across Amen. This pulpit, yes. every testimony, every song. I love yes. how God moves in here. You know, I'm glad it's not, you know, like a form and fashion. I'm glad it's not like a code of rules or ethics or anything like that. You just simply love God and take him at his word.
Amen.
And like Brother Skyler said, trust him. I've learned to trust him that much more when I can't even see 10 feet in front of me. When I can't see what's coming around corners, he sees around corners.
Amen.
Just like the, Sister Johanna said Sunday night, she said, God makes up the difference.
Yep.
No matter what, yeah. I could literally step out on something that I don't even know how I'm going to do it. I don't even know how I'm going to pull it off.
Right. Yeah.
I basically bit more than I could chew. But God makes up the difference.
Yes.
No matter what it is, if it lines up with his will,
yes. yep.
if it lines up with his will, if it helps get this message forward, protecting this message, anything to push, help this message, that he's commissioned me. I can't fail. He's given me a commission to be able to get the job done.
Amen.
Jesus ain't coming back here. He said, no, I left it to my bride. She's got my name. She's calling for it now. She's doing the greater works. Oh my goodness. This is a blessed place. God bless you.
Yes. I'm gonna say something before it gets shut down. I can be this close to a mic and not say something. He's been too good to me.
Yes.
That's
yes,
without
yes.
saying.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, Sister Melanie, you started talking about that. Those the insurance.
Oh my goodness.
That was such a beautiful allegory. You can't.
Yes.
I tell you what insurance does for you. Insurance. You know what you'll do with insurance? You'll drive confidently.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? Because you're not worried about having to pay a price if you have a car
right,
accident.
Right.
You know you're covered.
Yeah.
You know you can go through life because you have medical insurance.
Yes.
You know, if I do get sick, guess what? It's covered.
Yeah.
If I need a prescription, guess what? It's covered.
Yeah.
You know what? I was thinking about that service on Sunday because, you know, at first I was like, oh, man, I thought I was going to get spanked.
Right.
But you know what? It adjusted my thank you. It was like, you know what? Thank God for that protection.
Yes.
Thank God for that, more or less, that ark. I'm sealed. Nothing can touch me.
Right.
You have to get through three layers of protection to get to me. That's how I look at it. You can't even touch me.
Oh, yes.
It's not even lawful for you to be around me.
Right.
But I love that because you talk about that insurance. When you have not only just one insurance policy, you got three.
Right.
Three insurance policies. You're beyond covered.
Yes.
You know that kind of confidence that gives you? Brother Moore said, if you stay in your role, you walk with confidence.
That's right.
You speak with confidence.
Right.
You don't sit there. You're not, well, I don't know. You know who you are. You don't let somebody tell you you're not somebody. If you can't tell me. I love what they said. My idea is not to convince me I'm Seth. I know who I am. My idea is to let you know who I am. When you talk about that level of insurance, oh, you're covered. You're covered not just a little bit. You're 360-degree protection.
Yes.
You know, you're covered in this side, the next side.
Yep.
You're covered with your walk.
Yes.
You're covered with your loved ones. You're covered. I can't even. It doesn't cover. There's nothing it doesn't cover. What else is there to say?
That's right.
What else is there to say? So when you have protection like that, you do walk a little bit different. You do talk a little bit different. Yeah, you can't be quiet. No, you can't be quiet. You can't come in here and be like, well, I guess I'm going to sit down.
No.
Oh, no. Sister Michelle said that he gave me breath of life.
Yes.
What am I going to do with that? Am I going to sit on God with that? No.
No.
He said he gave me strength in my feet to walk. What am I going to do with that?
Yeah.
Sit on God? No. I'm going to stand.
Yes.
I'm going to make a statement.
Yes.
You say I'm the final voice of the final age. How are you going to know if I don't say anything? You have. There has to be a point of manifestation. There has to be a point of manifestation. Eventually, you know, eventually it comes to the point. I love that it comes back with that Brother Bram thing where he says, you know, if you don't have, if you save a wife, I never see her. Yeah. I have every right to die.
Every right. Yeah.
Unless I see it. But you know what the thing, though, is, on the flip side, I know I'm covered. I can't explain it. I can't tell you anything about it. But right. I know when I walk, my footsteps are beyond order.
Oh, yeah.
I know I'm creating life every single step I go. I'm not torn. I'm not sad. You see this neurotic age. They're trying to fill things in. They're trying to figure things out. That's what man does. Man wants an answer. Man can't have faith. Yeah. Man can't have faith. It's not him because they right. want to explain it. They want to rationalize right. it. You know what? I don't need rationalization.
No.
I'm like, you know what? I knew I was going to hear from God when I woke up. Well, I guess, Lord, it's Wednesday. Unless we have a rapture by 7:30, well, I guess 7 o'clock. Yeah. I know who I'm going to be. I know who I'm going to hear from. Yes. I don't care who it comes from, right. what right. vessel he decides to use, right. what flesh he decides to use, or yes. how he decides to say it. I know I'm going to hear from God. I walk in seeing God open the door saying, you know what, brother, it's good to see you. Because I know every single blessing. Yes. I can touch the blessing. Yes. Sister Melly, you're a blessing. Brother Dwayne, you're a blessing.
Yes.
You're a blessing. And I don't want Amen. Satan to tell you anything different.
That's right.
You are beautifully and wonderfully made.
Right. Yes.
We should be the most straight back people.
Oh my goodness.
Understanding who you are, that you're sealed. Nothing can touch you. Not the waters of the world. Not the fear of the world. You're not torn. You're not swayed.
Oh my
so
goodness.
What are we holding on to? All I'm holding on to at this point, I've never understood until this year what an empty plate meant. Mm-hmm. My only thing is get the dead up. Yeah. And you know, the funny thing is, they're already here.
Yeah.
All I'm saying, just remove the scales from my
yeah.
eyes.
Yeah.
Let me
yeah.
see them.
Yeah.
Let me see
Take
them.
Take this veil off.
I'm not even have to do anything different.
Yeah.
I just have to open my eyes.
That's it.
So, Lord, tell me how to open my eyes a little bit differently.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm ready for that manifestation.
Come on.
I will speak it. Because he said prophesy again.
Prophesy.
He didn't right. say make any sort of new message.
Right.
He didn't say write anything new. He didn't say die on the cross. He didn't say do anything
My
else.
Goodness.
But he said just believe.
We have everything.
Just believe.
Yes.
And if you can believe, you are completely covered. Amen. Completely covered. Amen. That means no matter what comes your way, you can be steadfast,
yes.
unmovable. Nobody else in this world can say that. The fact that you walked in with a clear mind,
yeah.
Not even the fact that you understand. That's a beautiful thing in of itself. But the fact that you even know where to go. That I can
right.
walk in this house. I know where God's at.
Yes.
He's not at home.
No.
He's not on live stream.
He's
if you could
not.
Be here. There's a cat out there. But yeah. I love the fact that I know where he's at. I know that I'm going to listen to God talk. I'm going to get my bread buttered. I came in no matter what I went through. Because
right.
I got protection.
That's
I got
right.
protection. You know, I filled that claim out. You know, yeah. he solved it.
Oh yeah.
I didn't have to go to jail. I didn't have to face a lawyer. Everything was done.
Yeah.
And what else? There's no worry I have.
No.
So I should walk in like, you know what? I don't care what the devil, what the other, what whoever. I don't care what he did. Because my God is greater. My God is greater. He's
Amen.
Given me too much.
Amen.
He's
yes.
given me a sound mind. But more than anything else, he's given me a revelation that you know what?
Yeah.
When I hear God talk,
yeah.
I'm like, that's it.
That's him.
That right there, you know what? When I can't even do it myself, I'm like, you know what, Lord?
Yes.
You'll take care of it.
Will,
you know, because that insurance, I'll give you my information
yeah.
after that car accident. I'm going to keep going.
Yeah.
God's going to figure it out.
Right.
I can't figure it out. I don't know how that works. I don't know how to get that. I gave you my information. It's my policy number. I'm sealed. All right. I'll see you next time. You can talk to my insurance company.
Yep.
He'll deal with it.
He'll deal with it.
So I'm thankful for a rest in this day and age because this is a neurotic age. This is a mind age. They're dealing with the head. And this head, I don't have leprosy.
Right.
How happy can we be?
Right.
We all walked in without leprosy.
Yes.
So you know what? Thank God that none of us have leprosy.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
It's good to be here. We pulled up. It was 5 till 7, and the parking lot was already almost full. And if I can't get anything else out tonight, I want to thank God. He's been good to me. I was
Amen.
Just sitting here
right.
thinking, he's given me a revelation.
Yeah.
He's given me a pastor. He's given me yeah. ministers. He's given me the best wife. He's given me great kids.
Amen.
They're
yeah.
finishing school. They're going to be home this summer. He's kept them safe. He touched an AC at our house this week. I mean, God just does everything for us, and I'm so thankful for that. But I was just sitting, just trying to reflect on Sunday services, and I just have a couple thoughts. I had never heard that story about King Uzziah ever before, and how he had everything right. But when he got out of his role and he touched God wrong, he was separated from God.
Man.
And you know, and Brother Moore was talking about, just do your role. Don't separate, and just stay in your calling, and you're protected when you're in your calling. Yeah. And then on Sunday night, I really liked, we were talking about that serious hour, it's the being sincerity this year. And he said, when you get cold, you get leprosy in your mind. So move, sing, testify, be part of this body, don't get cold. That, he said, don't get cold, you get leprosy in your mind. And he said, when you get to the house, revelation kills unbelief. So the word kills unbelief. And just two things, and I was looking in the Bible today on leprosy, because we were talking about it, and Brother Seth just mentioned it too. On Luke 17 and 11 through 19, there was, we know the story well. There were 10 men that they were lepers. They were kicked out, and they Jesus passed them, and they yelled out at him. They said, have mercy on us. And he did. He sure did. He said, go to your priest. And as they were going back, they were cleansed. But one of them, only one of them, was healed. I mean, they were all healed, but one that was healed thanked him. And it said he turned back. And with the loud, he was loud, and he glorified God, and he fell at Jesus' feet. And then Jesus said, where's the other nine? Right, and he told this man, he said, rise and go, thy faith had made thy whole. And then Luke 5 and 12, there was just one man, he went to Jesus, he fell on his face, he said, make me clean. And Jesus touched him, and he said, be thou clean, and go show your priest and tell no one. But he told everyone, and then Jesus couldn't really go anywhere because people wanted to be healed. But I was just thinking that I don't want to be one of those that don't come back. Amen. Jesus has been so good to me. There's been people here that God has blessed and given things to and opened doors. And I'm not even picking on them. I'm just so glad that I can come back. Amen. And say, I have been many times I've had leprosy in my mind. But God's always healed me. Amen. He's always gave me a way back in. And I'm so thankful for that.
Amen. Amen.
I am thankful also to be here. God gives me everything once again, and I just want to thank him. Thank him. And he can open doors and make a way out and provide everything and correct me when I need it. Thank you so much for that, because that's his love. I want his love.
Amen.
I don't want to be without him. Oh, my. This world, no.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Yes.
You know, I almost could cry because, you know, God's been good to me too. Yes. And, you know, the message Sunday just was like a breath of fresh air for me. Yes. I mean, I could just look at it and say I was dealing with some things personally. And, you know, there's things that you deal with as a woman. As a sister who, you know, who I am. And I just thank God because he hears our prayers.
Yes, he does.
And that means so much to me because a lot of times when you're walking through this earth, you're like, knock, 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 do you hear me? You go to a door and you wonder, hey, am I getting an answer? Mm-hmm. But when God hears your prayers, you want to say thank you.
Right.
And I was with my precious sister today, and, you know, we get to be with each other in this world. Amen. And you know, the little things, and I look at the little things because those little things mean so much to me. That little seed grows into this huge plant.
Amen.
And this is that season of rebirth right now. We're going into summer, I know that, but every time I put a seed in the ground and it goes from something tiny to something huge, I just think that's amazing.
Amen.
But I look at when I'm hanging out with my sister and she talks about the year dedication, Brother Moore talks to us about, you know, fellowshipping with each other and using that fellowship, it gives us strength, you know, mm-hmm. if I'm doing something or if I have a thought, we can just use that word. And Brother Moore talked to us about applying that word.
Yeah.
And that's a little thing, but that's a huge thing. Because if I don't apply the word, you'll struggle more.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not one for struggle. I love to hit that easy button. That red easy button, I'm trying to hit it all day long. Small house, blah, blah. Downsize, that's where I'm at, you know. But I just thank God because this word means everything to me.
Yeah,
this
amen.
Word is just life. It gives me breath.
Yes.
It gives me hope. It gives me direction. It gives me purpose. And this word from the foundation of the world. You know, you look at things. God purposed so many things. from way back till now. He's got it all planned out, and I'm glad I'm part of that.
Yeah.
Sing 194. We Fall Down. Yes, we fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus, the greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus.
This scares me to death. That's why I look here, not out there.
Amen.
That's why I look at Brother Moore. And I,
amen.
But you know, he's done so much.
Amen.
Yes. And I was thinking how, talk about David, you know, he went to the house of God to worship. Yeah. That's all it says. He goes to worship. What God has done. I can't worship him out on the battlefield. Can't worship him. Right. We're going through life, but here we come to worship.
Worship.
Amen. And that,
right.
That's what it's for.
Amen.
You know, of course, now we, you know, get the ministry, you know, and we hear the word of God, and you know, they had their part of that too back then. But I'm so thankful that this is so real. You know, you go through life and you can't be sad. You know, like they're saying, you know, all things work to my good. I know that. I believe that more now than I ever have in my whole life. And but he's, you know, he's made a way. He leads and guides.
Right.
You know, he done that. You know, the Word of God doesn't, it makes statements. It's not a bunch of questions. It's not a lot out there. I was thinking about that. I looked that up. Let me tell you this first. You know, when the one fella, he tried to sell some insurance, Brother Branham, he said, I got insurance. You know, he said it real quick. And I was thinking, what is the difference between insurance and assurance? Insurance, a practice arranged by which a company provides a guarantee of compensation for specified loss, damage, or illness, or death in return for a payment of a premium. It's kind of a, you know, it's a
exchange.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a, what do you call it? It's a, yeah, conditional.
Yeah.
But assurance, a positive declaration intended to give confidence, a promise. That's all it says. And I think, thank God for his assurance. Because it's got nothing to do with me making a premium payment. It's not, I have to land, well, this is covered and that isn't. You know, it's all covered. And I'm so thankful that he's got this. And I, it just brings more and more of a rest, you know, even to where everybody's, you know, and you want things. It's hard not to want things. It's hard not to, you know, when you come believing, it's hard not to try to, you know, stir it in your favor a little bit. it takes quite a revelation to bring something for God.
Amen.
And believe with all your heart for it, and yet say, whatever you want to give, whatever you do is fine with me. You know, it's a hard balance because you're almost battling yourself to get to that point. You know, and I was thinking, you know, we were talking about how that we come before God with our hand open, you know, and you know, we try and, you know, and get it open, you know. But he wants both hands open, and he wants your heart open.
Amen.
And he wants a full surrender.
Amen.
You know, and I think through life, that's what we learn more and more.
Amen.
How to surrender more. That's why we say, Lord, I believe. I've surrendered this much, but help my unbelief. Let me get this in open too, you know. Let me give it all.
Come on.
And I think, Lord, just lead this bride. Lead us every step of the way home.
Yes,
Lord. Amen.
Sing a song called He's Real. He's real. He's so real to me. Appreciate being here tonight. I'm looking forward to the services.
Yes.
And praise God for everything that we get.
Amen.
He's real. Just another reminder to myself.
He's real. He's real. He's so real to me. Can't live with
Yes, he's real. He's real. He's so real to me. Oh, yes, he's so real to me. So many people doubt him, but I can't live without him. That is why I love him so. Yes, that is why I love him so. That is why I love him so. And he's so real to me.
I want to sing another song. The More That I Surrender. And I looked it up. I can't find it. So where is it? Somebody put the words up there for me. And I think we played in the key of F, if I remember right.
The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my care, the more he takes control.
He cares for you.
Yes, the more that I surrender, the lighter my load. Yes, the more that I release my care, the more he takes.
God, thank you for everything you've done for us. Singing that song, Lord, just sit here and makes me think, Lord, we can't do anything without you. You've got to preach to us, reveal yourself to us, give us a revelation. And it's from that we move and take our actions. And Lord, my desire, it's in me, is to do your will. Not my will, but thine be done. Oh, I'm not here to fit in with the world. I'm not here to build a kingdom here. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Have your way. Have your way tonight as we approach the preaching part of the service. Answer the questions in people's minds. Give peace of mind. Reveal your word that much more to us, Lord, and let us walk out of here thanking you for blessing us this service. Be with your bride around the world. I don't see Sister Keene here, Lord. We ask that you touch her. Be with her. Touch Brother Jimmy and the family, Lord. And Lord, I always like to say, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You've been so good to me. You've been so good to us. You've answered our prayers. You've watched over us. You've given us and provided everything we need. And we thank you for that. And Lord, have your way with the rest of the service. We thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to see everybody tonight. Amen. And be back in the house of the Lord. No other place I'd rather be. And I mean that. But I think you can tell I mean it because I show up.
You're right.
I'm here. It's not just words. It's my life.
Amen.
Not in a sense that I'm so good, but I need this. This talks to the real me. You know, when you're out there on the battlefield, so many things go on around you, and there's pulls from all over the place, but you always think about this place. Think about this word. Stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance that God has got a job for you to do, that you've got a real job that's greater than anything you're doing in this world. I always say this, really my worldly job is just God helping, using so I can do my real job. I meet people there, or I pay tithes, or whatever I do with that real job. God's using it, because all things work together for the good. To them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. And we thank God for that. And remember the announcements. We can get them at the end of service. I'm going to keep moving right now. But, God has been good to us. God's been good to me. You know, I asked you guys to pray for me for work, and then these first 3 days were the days, and God got me through it, so I'm thankful for that. He's good. He never lets us down. He always shows up. He always provides the increase. Where I fall short, he provides the rest. Where I couldn't do it, he took care of it. When I couldn't pay the price, Jesus hung on that cross for me. When I tried to live good and couldn't even do it, he covered for that. And when I wanted to let go of my cares, and I couldn't even know how to do it, he come and pricked my heart. He come and made a way. He made a way when I didn't live up to that desire. And then sometimes he changed that desire. Sometimes he says keep it. Sometimes he took it away. But what's so great about him is he took care of every bit of it. Every which way, up, down, sideways, left ways, all the way around. He's been there the whole time, Brother Deskins. Matter of fact, he knew I couldn't do it. He set a conditional covenant at one point in time. He said, if you do this, I'll do that. And man failed, and he said, I can't leave this in man's hands. I'm going to have to take care of this myself. I'm going to use man to do it, but they're going to need my help. They're going to need me to take care of it. They're going to need me wait regardless of how much they fall short, regardless of their shortcomings, regardless of how dirty they are. Because they're going to think even when they're living good, they're clean. And they're not going to realize that they're not even clean. Your holiness is a stink in God's nostrils, to be real honest with you. We don't talk about it real strong, but God is holy. He don't want around any unclean thing. He won't even place his feet back up on this earth until he cleans it off. He's holy. Now make that one with you. It's beyond human thinking how to call ourselves holy. But here we stand tonight, perfect, spotless, without blemish, perfect in the eyes of God, justified, not have one problem at all. You got to know what you're talking about when you say that, but I know what I'm talking about. I'm a child of God. My very life is God's own life, and he declared me holy. He said, be ye holy. I couldn't make myself holy. He had to do that too. He had to come and be a substitute. He said, you come the wrong way. And there's no way to patch it up. There's no way to clean it up. There's no way to do enough things right to make yourself worthy. He says, you need a sacrifice. Yeah. You need a substitute. But he said, I'm the man for the job. Matter of fact, there's something in me, an attribute in me, to want to be a redeemer, to want to be a healer, to want to be these things. So we thank God for that. Amen. I'm glad to be here. Amen. You know, you got to want God for yourself. Amen. You really do. And, that, and Brother Moore's taught us that for years about foreknowledge. God chose you because you chose him. Yes. On one side of the coin, he chose you before the foundation of the world, before you even had a chance here to do anything. He was slain before the foundation of the world. You were in his mind. The Bible says he chose you and you didn't choose him. Amen. But what's funny about it is you got to flip it to the other side of the coin, know how to rightly divide this word. How did he choose you? Because he saw by his foreknowledge that you were going to want him and going to want to obey his word and love him and return. And it's a perfect match. And he says, I'm going to predestinate that person. I'm going to give them a little piece of my own life. A little piece of me. And I'm going to get them back to where they come from. I've already got it in my mind. I've already seen it done. I already see them perfect. I already see them spotless. And I'm going to make all this stuff work for their good. Oh, we can't lose. Oh, this world's not our home, people. You know, we've been going to church a long time. Our desire ain't to this world. But I even think when we do get out there sometimes and the peer pressure's on us and the pull's on us, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to you.
Amen.
You know, I was thinking, and let me say this very, very accurately, because I don't want you to misconstrue me, but I want to just show you how great this is. The second best thing that's ever happened to me is my wife. Amen. And I mean that very strongly. Amen. I could spend a whole sermon on talking about our relationship and how God's blessed us and how good she is to me. She's the best thing outside of salvation that's happened to me. But I was up here thinking, as you guys are testifying, I thought, but you know what? Sometimes I let her down. And sometimes she lets me down. No matter how much I say she's the second best thing that's ever happened to me, and she really is. But there's only one thing in this world that has never let me down. That's God. That's his word. Hold to God's unchanging hand. It's the only thing that won't fail you. It's the only thing that won't let you down. And I know how to rightly divide that. God's in flesh. I can get there too. But I'm just telling you, the thing that does not let you down is the God. You can stand on him and his word. So if you have your Bibles with you, I want to read from two places to get started. I'm going to start with St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. As you turn over there, and then I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. So, if you can't flip between the two fast enough, don't worry, I've got them marked up here, and I will read them to you. But St. Matthew, the 28th chapter, and I'm going to start with verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And you know, we know that name is the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. You know, people baptize in those titles, but those are just titles. I'm a father, I'm a son, I'm a husband, I'm a brother, but my name is Jeremiah. But my next verse is where I want to get to. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Jumping over to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. May God add the blessings to the reading of his word. My title tonight is God Always Protects His Seed. He has from the very beginning. Now, this is, could be a big story or a short story tonight. We'll let God decide which one it's going to be. But I can't help but go all the way back before I even got here, Brother Moore. God saw the plan. He saw the fall. He saw my footsteps. He saw where I was going to go. And there couldn't be one thing that was going to happen to me before he could get to that predestinated seed. Think about that. That's a powerful, great God right there. We use Moses as an example all the time.
Pharaoh had sent out a decree. They knew a deliverer was on the scene. Go out and search the lands, find that deliverer, kill him. Try to do the same thing in Jesus' day. And God has such a way to protect his seed that he sent Moses right down underneath the nose of the very Pharaoh that was trying to kill him. And here was Jesus that was going to be born in Nazareth. You would never think to go look in a barn to find the God that's coming to earth. And the matter of fact, the way I read the Bible, Nazareth was not of a good reputation. Because anything good come out of Nazareth. But God has a way of always protecting his seed. He's done it. He's never lost track of one of us. God is our guardian angel in that sense. When you were going to be crazy, when you're the one got in the car, when in whatever condition you were in, when you're the one that was running away as fast as you can, God saw you the whole time and said, I'm not going to lose one of mine. Oh, that gets me excited. See, I feel good tonight. God's got this thing taken care of. Oh, I know what part I got to play. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But God is way ahead of the devil. We say that a lot, very often, but I like repeating it. God is not tricked by the devil. He's the one that made the devil, and he knows what he's going to do before he even has a chance to do it. And God's way ahead of him and always has been protective of his seed. Even when he allowed the devil to deal with Job, he still protected Job. You can do anything to him that you want, but you can't take his life. God hasn't lost track of one of us. He knows every footstep we're going to take. He knows every wreck that was going to try to kill us. He knew everything the devil would try to do to go after us. But God has protected us. Amen. He didn't even reveal this 2,000-year-old bride body until she was on her feet. He protected it, Brother Moore. God's a protective God. Let me read you a quote. This will make you feel good. Made me feel good, at least. Brother Branham says, confirmation of the commission. He says, Jesus said, if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. You don't believe I'm the Messiah. The works I do confirm what I claim. If I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe it. But if I do the works of my Father, then believe the works, even if you can't believe me. That was a confirmation. How did that fit them? Who God sends, God protects. God confirms the word. If God sent an ambassador somewhere to do something, he's got to stand behind that commission. God doesn't send his word. It does not go out void. And if you're a child of God, he is not going to lose track of you. He will stand behind you. He will protect you. That ought to make you feel pretty good, to be real honest with you. You're not just called and then put out here on a flimsy limb. You're standing on something solid. When he tells you to go forth and loose and bind, we're talking about a God that's going to back you up. He ain't sending you out there not backing you up. Hey, Joshua, cross to the other side. Be strong and be courageous. And God said, I got to back him up now. I'm the one that's told him to go across the other side. And it didn't matter from that point on what Joshua trouble he got into. God was going to show up. And when Joshua needed the sun to stand still, it stood still. And every time go in your own life, God has sent you do anything you're supposed to do. Whether it's your responsibility, your calling that you're supposed to stay in, God will back you up every single time. Now, we can step out of our callings and we can make missteps and God has to correct us and pull us back. But God stands behind his word. I'm glad to know that. Because I know that if he says there's a rapture coming, Brother Deskins, and that there's a change in the body, and I'm out here, and Brother Moore's taught me that's my one job, I'm standing on that by revelation. Not by head knowledge. It's a revelation to me. But I believe that he that promised it is more than able to back it up. I don't doubt in my heart. I have all revelation. I have all faith that it's going to happen. I actually believe it could happen at any moment. I'm crazy enough just to believe it. I'm crazy enough just to walk by faith. Because God's going to protect his word. Heaven and earth shall pass away. But not one word will ever fail. You know your very predestinated seed is the Word of God. Think about that now. I'm trying to get this real to you. You can't fail. You're God's very own life. You're here for a purpose. Before you even got here and could do wrong or good, He already declared who He loved. Already knew when He was going to meet you. Already knew when He was going to show up for you. He's a protective God. And He will not let one of His seed fail. And He said, there's no man that can pluck any of mine out of my hand. Now, where I wanted to go with this a little bit, and I heard in the testimonies tonight, the one thing that stuck out to me Sunday is God has always made a way. Because I was thinking, as Brother Moore was preaching a little bit Sunday, I thought to myself, you know, we humans sometimes, we get things all mixed up. Some of us are so out of character that you do one thing wrong to me, and I'm not going to forgive you. We're going to hate our enemies, as you read the scripture. But some of us are that awful. Then the next batch of us, we might let you second time, but you get to that third time, there's a limit. You know, that before I understood and got a revelation of grace, I used to think about that myself that way. Mess up one time, there's grace. But when I do it the second time, I know better. I'm in trouble now. But when I've come to find out that's not God's way at all. Now, I ain't trying to tell you to go do it 20 times just to do it, but God's grace is unending. It never runs out. He's always made a way. It's blessed assurance, as you were telling us, Sister Mel. And I was thinking, you know, you were talking, Brother Moore, how people will backbite each other, will fight with each other, won't go to church together. All because of something we think we saw somebody do, and we weren't even there to even witness to know it was true. Something we've heard somebody supposedly do. And we won't fellowship with them. And you made a very clear Sunday in this Bible, God's never intended us to do all this separating and all this backbiting and all this gossiping and all this talking about each other. He's always intended for us to fellowship and be together and protect one for another. Love one another. Love your brother. Love your sister. Matter of fact, love your enemy. Pray for those that despitefully use you. It's never been, they did wrong, separate from them. Where's the protection? Where's the care? Where's the love? You know, you actually have a responsibility for me. I have a responsibility for you. Brother Chose used to use the word obligation. That ought to be a little obligation for you. You come to this church and part of this body. You got a job to do. You got a calling to stand in. But I'm expecting some things from you. I'm expecting you to help me along the way. But guess what? I want to help you along the way. I'm expecting you to do your role. But guess what? I want to do my role. Everybody, part of the body, supplying is every joint supplying, providing this particular need. But I'm counting on you to do your part. I don't need you to just go out there and talk about me and hurt my influence, or, and more importantly, Brother Moore's influence. He's the pastor of this church. But we're a body. God's always protected us. That's why I started with God. He's a protecting God. Now notice I said a seed. You don't worry about the devil's people too much. But let me even say this. My daughter was asking me about the people at school, because they don't go to church here. But I said, you know, I was telling her, rightly divided them, that they're not believers and all that. But at the same time, it's not even time to go to school and just back talk about people and give them, protect your friends. That should just be a common, human, decent thing to do. And you know what? Brother Moore's rule about gossip will help every one of us. It'll help you in natural life. Go to work. If it don't involve you, stay out of it. As a boss, it would help me a lot if people would do that. My least favorite visit. Did you know so-and-so did this? I want to look at them, and sometimes I have. What does that have to do with you? All right, that ain't your job. That ain't your role. Please do your job. That's just a simple version, but that gossiping rule will apply to you everywhere you go. It does. You know, I was telling Brother Moore this week, he said, study to show yourself approved, because I had a natural thing to do at work. I needed to be ready. I needed to be prepared. This Bible's got every answer you need in it. Study yourself to approve doesn't just apply to preaching. when you're at your job. Study to show yourself approved. Prepare. Don't be lazy. Don't go in haphazardly. Don't go in arrogant. You'll go be like the man, you know, having the preacher, oh, I got this under control. I'm going to preach you a good sermon. You'll come down humbled. Well, take that. Don't just think it's just for Jeremiah James and Pastor Moore. Take that to work with you. Don't go in so arrogant. I got everything under control. Now, there's a time for a boss to say, hey, I got to lead. But I'm talking, oh, I'm just going to do this. Study, show yourself approved. You'll get humbled real quick. Somebody asks you a question, and you're going to look stupid. Because you don't have an answer. So I don't know how I got off on that altogether, but apply these things. Apply, that's where I was at. This gossip rule, it'll help you every place in your life. At home. Exactly right, brother. It helps you in every aspect of your life. But in here, as we were talking about protection, I need you to do your job.
Amen.
Protect for me.
Right.
You know what? Brother Moore's taught us this for a long time. That first layer of protection. If I'm, I'll just use James. I'll talk to James. James, you saw me do A, B, C. I'm counting on James to keep that between me and him. It really ain't none of your business anyhow. Really. It ain't going to help you. I've told that for at least for many years. Because, you know, Hollywood, when you're married, there's no secrets. Because we can apply it to all the bad stuff. We can apply it to adultery, we apply it to this. That's a whole different story. I'm over here talking about something completely different than that. But the rule, we can't hide nothing from anything. Well, if what I'm going to tell you ain't going to help you, I might decide to keep it in. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to do that to my friend, let alone my wife, who I love. I'm going to protect. Hey, Elise, did you know Brother Deskins did ABC? You know what that's going to do to her? Hurt her. Every time, no matter how much grace she has, and she has a lot of grace, you know what the devil's going to do? He's going to bring it right up here. Did you know what Jeremiah told you about Brother Deskins? And she's going to have a little battle. And I, you know, hopefully she's strong enough and just says, get behind me, devil. But I'm the one that created that battle for her. She didn't even see what Brother Deskins did. She had no clue. So I don't want to tell her. It don't help her. It ain't going to help her grow. It didn't give her any more revelation. No, it'd be different when we talk about revelation. I wouldn't want to hide anything from my friends when we're talking about revelation. But when it comes to talking about what somebody did bad, I ain't trying to tell my closest compatriots. Because I want to protect. And I'm counting on you to do that for me. And I want you to be able to count on me to do that for you. It's a body. You know, this ties to what Brother Moore started off with the year of dedication. Protecting our influence. Because now let's get to the second level for a minute. Brother Moore's taught this for years. That's what was so amazing. That's why Brother Deskins got up and testified Sunday. We found where Jesus taught these three levels. All these years in the Bible, I had never seen those three levels like that until Sunday. But Brother Moore got it, brought it to us. I thought, well, that's what he said 20 years ago. Of course, it's always been the truth. I said, but that just confirmed that much more. But sometimes things get beyond the two people that know. And it gets in front of the whole body. You know what Brother Moore's going to do? He's going to make sure people understand the correctness of it. He's not just, he's going to bounce it out. He's just going to let it run rampant and not take care of it. It got beyond that first level of protection. So now Brother Moore's got work to do. You know, I'm sitting here on the front row. I tell you my little secret, I shouldn't do this. Because I really don't view Sunday service as a rebuke either, Brother Moore. I thought it was more informal. But I will tell you, that first 20 minutes was hot. And I was sitting in here, and I tell you, this happens to me one out of every five services. I thought, man, why am I sitting on this front row? I want to crawl underneath this pew. I felt like the high priest walking into the holiest of holies. Nothing to say here, nothing to do here. I ain't got nothing to think about. See, I've seen Brother Moore come in before, and I'm thinking, I ain't playing with this man today. And that ain't a joke. I'm just saying God's on him. This is something to take very serious. But it was hot the first 20 minutes. Because you were getting to stay in your place, stay in your calling. You were teaching about, it's your job to deal with these spirits. Amen. So when these spirits get out amongst the body, Brother Moore starts dealing to help the whole entire church.
Amen.
But here's what's so great about it. He tries to protect it from the entire world. He's just trying to protect this church at that point. Now he's at the second level. Don't do what James did. Don't do what Jeremiah did. That's wrong. That's right. Watch out. Beware of that. Starts dealing with those spirits. Sure, we all get up. I like how you say it, we all get up and say the word, and the word is a discerner, a thought that tends the heart. It corrects. Everybody does that. But just to purposely come in here and deal with this body and deal with spirits. He's the watchman on the wall. That's what he's called or ordained to do. But he starts taking care of that second level of protection. And then what that enables us to do is to help him. Because then our job is, I ain't trying to let this get out to the world. I'm just going to apply it to me. He's helped me out. I'm going to keep it to me now. I realize that's wrong. I don't want to do it. But I ain't going around. Hey, my mom and dad who are believers, but don't go to this church. Hey, mom and dad, you should have heard what Brother Moore preached about today. That's not how it works. I'm counting on you. And I don't mean that like you have work, good works, but you have a responsibility. Right. Something to face up to.
Yeah.
As a member of this body, you got levels. You need to protect the individual. Protect the church. Then guess what happens sometimes? This is when it gets a bad situation. This is like what Jesus said. When it gets to this point, turn over to the sinners and the publicans. I'll keep using James because he knows we're friends and he knows this is nothing I know about him. But James gets up here and doesn't heed Brother Moore's warning. You know, I studied something and I got a little different thought than Brother Branham. Brother Moore's done with the first level of protection. We're done with the second level of protection. Now we've reached the message, the word of God, that we ain't playing with and we ain't letting the world think we even believe that. You went to a level that I got to protect the people from around the world thinking we even believe that and agree with that. And I'm not even sure I can help you. Go find somebody that can help you.
Amen.
He turns them over to the publicans and sinners.
Yeah.
That's a bad place to be.
Yeah.
Where there's breath, there's hope. But that's acting like an unbeliever. I don't know how else to call it, but when you disobey God like that, you're acting like an unbeliever.
Amen.
You don't believe the word. How do I work the words of the Father? Believe on him who the Father has sent. And he has sent the pastor to you to give you instruction. And when you don't believe that, you don't believe God.
Right. Amen.
But here's what I like about it. Remember my title, God always protects his seed.
Amen.
He will go with you the first level of protection and try to keep you right there the whole entire time so nobody else even knows what you did and he doesn't hurt your influence.
Right.
That's how much God will care about you on your individual life. Right. So I want to let another soul know. What did he say what did the prophet say one time? When God puts something under the blood, not even a prophet can see it. When God puts something under the blood, don't you try to bring it back out. You'll be the one found guilty of it. It's on your hands then. Then God will go along with that seed that stumbles a little bit and still deal with him that second level. Still trying to protect, trying to say, this is how it is, this is how it works.
Amen.
There comes a time, Brother Moore, they depart from us. Because they were not part of us. You lose God's protection. But what that really is meaning is you were never his to begin with. Because God always protects his seed. I know this might be an awkward message for you tonight, but this is what God dealt with me this week. He's always protected us. He's always taken care of us. He's never intended us to be backbiting. He's never intended us to talk about each other. He's always wanted us to love each other.
Amen.
He's wanted the truth of the matter. He'll rebuke what he needs to rebuke, but he is not trying to go expose everything you did because the devil's in the details.
Amen.
I've been a taught around here to repent, and when I repent, I ain't giving you all the details because you can't handle the details, and it won't help you any, and I'm protecting you by sparing you the details. I don't need you to come up here and tell me the 20 things you did last night because I'm human and I got to live with that and fight the devil off me every single time.
That's right.
I'd rather you get up here and say, I have let you down, body. Forgive me, my desire is right.
Amen.
God will know what you're saying. God will know very well. He knows how to read between the lines. He knew what you were going to do before you even did it. So keep it simple, stupid, so that the devil can't get in the middle of it and start playing around and shooting poison in the body. Because one of the ways he can shoot poison in the body is when gossip starts and it starts spreading from one person to the next person. And we all have a responsibility to this body and to the word of God, to the one that called us to do our job. Now, I got to catch up with a few scriptures here so You got to bear with me. Psalms 91. It's not even 8:30 yet. So we're going to take our time. See, I intended this to lift you up. I intended this to help you. Any real preacher ain't up here just to reiterate words and look good. Well, I'll tell you this, I'm not that preacher. I've been honest with you, I'm always self-conscious up here, snotting, snorting, walking around, not using proper English. This ain't looking pretty, but it's the way God deals with people, by the foolishness of preaching. Get somebody out of the way, get them turned on about that word, say, I don't need your thinking, I don't need your way of wanting to do this, I don't need you to study it, and it's got to go. You know what? I have jumped from note 3 down to note 11 now, trying to come back to note 4, because that's the way God wanted to do it. It wasn't the way I had it written down and thought it was going to go. I've jumped way down towards the end of my message. Let me throw something in here that I skipped, but you'll like it. God, it's a God with skin on it. Because I was thinking, I was going to start with you with God, this great God that's a spirit. And no man's seen at any time. That God's protected us. He's known us. He's foreknew us. He saw us since the foundation of the world. He's given us everything we needed. He's protected us. He made sure we made it to our final destination. But that same God got in human skin. I want a God that manifests himself. You can tell me all you want about God, but if I never see that God in action, moving, providing what he said he's going to do, I have a right to doubt him, Seth. But that ain't the God I serve. I have a God that says, I'll do this, I'll do that, and he shows up on time every time. But the story goes, that little boy, there was a storm coming. We've told this story before, and that storm was scaring him. And mommy said, don't worry, little son. God always, it tickled me because she used the word protects us. And she's right. That was some nice words. Mommy, I believe it. That sounds good and I believe it. But when that storm gets pretty close, I want a God with skin on him. And I can tell you what that means so many ways, but the way it stuck out to me today, I want to manifest the God. I want a God that shows up. I want a God that fulfills his word. And that's the God we serve tonight. He's never let us down one time. But the thing about it is he's gotten in human skin. He didn't just stay in spirit form and want to be there the whole time. He wanted to work through human bodies. And you realize that same God that protects, that foreknew you, that gave you his life, that predestinated seed, that same God's walking around in this body called the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Doing some protecting through her too.
Yes, sir.
That's how he's working right now.
Amen.
He's expecting you to be that vessel that he's walking up to, saying, I got your back.
That's right.
I got you covered.
Amen.
I'm going to take care of you.
That's right.
Oh, God comforts me. You know what? I'm a little bit like the boy. Sometimes when it gets real tough, I ain't wanting just a prayer closet.
Right.
I want some fellowship.
Yeah.
Think about that. Maybe it's just me, but for me, I have plenty of times that I'm in my bed praying, and God's dealing with me, and it feels good, and it's enough, because I know prayer's real.
Right.
But there's times, Brother Moore, when the going gets tough, and it don't feel so good.
Right.
I want a little bit more than just that prayer closet.
Amen.
I want a God with skin on him around me, Brother Dustin.
Yeah.
I need a little fellowship.
Yeah.
I need some other eagles around me.
Amen.
I might be in the molten season. I need somebody to drop me some meat.
Yeah.
I need somebody to remind me who I am.
Yeah.
I need somebody to show up when it's 3 in the morning. Somebody show up when it's 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Somebody show up when it's 6 o'clock in the morning. I need somebody to be there for me.
Amen.
Jesus paid it all. Yes, he did. But now he's acting and moving through a living bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you're the way he's going to visit me. You're the way he's going to talk to me. You're the way he's going to protect me.
Amen.
You're the way he's going to bless me.
Amen.
That's how he's working.
Amen.
That's how he's moving.
Amen.
Sometimes I want a little confirmation. Because I'm sitting at home. I said, all things work together for the good.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing that thunder. I repeat, all things work together for the good. And I hear a little bit of thunder.
Yeah.
But get me around a second person.
Yeah.
I get a little stronger.
Yeah.
That second person shows up.
Yeah.
Now, Jeremiah, you know we've been taught so well.
Right.
Think about what God did for Moses when Pharaoh was trying to kill him. He protected him. The devil can't even touch you if God don't want him to. That started making me feel a little stronger.
Yeah.
Say, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Not only do all things work together for the good, those who he foreknew, he predestinated.
Yeah.
And those he predestinated, he called.
Yeah.
And those he called, he justified. And those he justified, he glorified. Amen. If God be for you, amen, who can be against you?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That's right. I feel good now.
Starting to feel a little bit better now. Wait a minute. Then the third person shows up. Don't stop there. There's more to that scripture. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's Christ that justifies and died rather. And what shall separate us from the love of God? Shall distress? Shall the devil? Shall trials? Nay. And all these things we're more than conquerors. Oh, I'm ready to fight. Where's that devil at now? Come on, show me where he's at now. And you know how that worked? It's because God showed up in flesh. God with skin on him showed up. We have a responsibility that way.
That's right.
That's what Brother Moore was teaching us Sunday. Three levels of protection. We're a part of that, whether you know it or not. We play a role in that three levels of protection. That three levels of protection ain't just the Spirit of God floating around up here somewhere. Though that Spirit's got the whole world in his hands and knows everything's going on, and he still is a Spirit today that will quicken his word. Just like he did it 2,000 years ago, he's still doing it today. But that God is working in and through human skin.
Amen.
To help protect you this day and hour.
Amen.
So, we do have a job to do. I'm going to go ahead and stay down here on note 11 for a minute. Since we're down here. Brother Branham, in the message, God doesn't call man to judgment without first warning him. He says, we've all, the body of Christ, has got to be in their position, in harmony. See, then we look around, we see what time of day it is, and the world's looking to see what it is, but they're watching you. And if you're just a little hairspring, mainspring, or whatever you are, you do the very best job you can do at that. Because we have a responsibility that we've got to answer to God someday for. Now listen to this next statement. Every man that come on the face of the earth has to answer God to God for a responsibility. Now, the first responsibility is get born again and believe the word of God. That responsibility takes care of all responsibilities. But you know what? God has called you for a purpose. And to many of us, stewardship, because Brother Bram goes on. And we have to answer for that. The responsibility of the stewardship that's been committed to us by God, and I don't care what it is. And I said a few moments ago, a housewife, then be the genuine housewife. If it's to be a farmer, be a genuine farmer. Whatever it is that God has put you to do, you got a stewardship to that. You've got to answer to God for it, because it takes all these things to do it. God is working in and through you. Now, I'm not here to suggest to you that there's not some God that has seen the future, because I'm a man. I don't know what's happening tomorrow, but God does. And he's got things planned, and he's this omnipotent, omniscient God everywhere all the time that is taking care of you. I know that. I'm not the person that snaps a finger and makes things move. That same God really is working in and through his bride. And we have a part to play, a responsibility to play in that protection. Turn with me to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Let me show you a little bit of this. I told you when Brother Moore preached this, what stuck out to me is we sometimes have gotten this thing all flipped upside down, fighting each other, not helping each other, not wanting to fellowship with each other. And that's never what God's intended. I got to think about it. Paul didn't teach that. Jesus didn't teach that. Brother Branham didn't teach that. Even Brother Branham, I think the brother was here a few weeks ago talking about, you know, he would see situations, and sure, he would rebuke what he needed to rebuke. But he would have private interviews protecting people. The little woman on the interview a few moments ago, a godly little woman. Did he say she did A, B, C, D? And he knew what she did. She probably told him. Because she said she at least said I do all kinds of things wrong. And he said a godly woman. So I just don't, as Brother Moore pointed out, I don't find it in the word that we're to do that. Ephesians the 4th chapter, verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor
listen to this next one. An evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another. Tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, this is just Jeremiah's love of that scripture, but I have always used that scripture. I thought, that's the basics of just this revelation. Amen. You know, because if, as what Paul said one time, if I don't preach nothing else, it's Christ crucified. And that's what that scripture is to me. Amen. Be kind to one another. Be tenderhearted. Forgive one another as Christ has forgiven you. That's what it's saying. Jesus paid it for you. Who are you that's so great that you're not going to be kind? God's always taught us to help one another, to be caretakers of one another, to protect for one another. I see it all up in the Bible. You reminded me again Sunday, Brother Moore, what those three levels of protection are. Sure enough, I'm human, and I haven't always done it. But I know what the truth is, and I know I got a responsibility. And I, for the most part, do that response. I want to do that responsibility because I know God wants to protect his people, his seed, and he always does. Because even if I get out of the way, he'll still figure out a way to protect me. He's never lost track of any of his. He's always said, take care of one another. Help one another. Love one another. Now, I want to make a few more points here. If you turn with me to Isaiah. The 59th chapter. About how God's always protected his seed. Give you another scripture for ammunition against the devil. Isaiah, the 59th chapter, verse 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. God has always raised up a standard against that devil. Now, I have a lot more notes left here, and I'm not going to get to them. I'm just going to go through some things fast. I thought the first way he raised up a standard is he already saw a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He already had that in his mind, already had a standard raised, already had a prepared way to get us back before the devil even talked to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Because he saw the whole thing unfold and says, I have got a lamb provided. Raised up a standard, Brother Moore, that despite us coming the wrong way and having no way back outside of him, amen, providing a perfect sacrifice, which he did, he raised up a standard. That's how much God always comes through for us. And Brother Branham was talking, and I'm going to save you the quote. He talked about these church ages. He talked about those four beasts. He said, the devil will send out that horse rider. And he used that very scripture. He said, God always raised up a standard. When that horse rider came out with that white horse, had a bow in his hand but no arrow, and was just a bluff, he said he sent that spirit of a lion, which was the pure word of God, to combat that thing. And when he saw they were going to get killed during the dark ages, he gave them a spirit of an ox. It's God's spirit the whole time, but he gave them that sacrificial spirit to raise up a standard. You know what he did, the face of a man? When the Catholic Church had all the Bibles and had all the knowledge, was telling people what God's Word meant and interpret for him, he sent a spirit of an intelligent man to be able to give us the Bible in the right form, to be able to start restoring the Word in Reformation, saying, you ain't paying penance, the just shall live by faith. Raised up a standard. But the one that means the most to us is this eagle. God sent us a prophet. Let's start even there. That was a standard raised, because this world didn't have anything right, had the word all with creeds and dogmas, had it all mixed up, had all kinds of, we baptized in the three titles, there's three gods, and God said, I'm going to send a prophet, and I'm going to get this thing straightened, and I'm going to get that word back in order for you. I'm going to restore that word. God raised up a standard. He raised up an eagle. But I love how we've been taught this church. That eagle spirit didn't just stop him, Brother Branham. This is the age of the eagle. It's on each and every one of us.
to fly higher than the devil can even get to, to see further than the devil can see. We have everything we need to overcome the devil. It's why we speak so confidently around here. God's made a way. What did he tell Peter? Heaven and earth has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And because of that, I'll build my church upon this, the rock of revelation. And what did he say? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God's always raised up a standard, Brother Moore. He's always been ahead of the devil. He's always came through for us every single time. And I thought about that. That applies in so many areas in our life. He gave us a pastor that's ordained to lead us through. He gave us a fivefold ministry that's ordained to preach to us. He gave us a body ordained to have gifts and helps in the body. He's always raised a standard up to provide everything we have need of. We really do have blessed assurance. We lack nothing. God's always provided. Always raised up that standard. When the devil comes in like a flood, that's a flood happens. You know those flash floods? They kill people. You got to be ready. If you ain't ready for a flash flood, you're in trouble. That's how great God is. He even described when a devil comes in rushing like a flood. God's so great, he's already prepared for that thing. Already said, I got a way out. That's why I started with that first scripture. There's nothing ever come man that's not common to him. And God has always made a way for escape, such that he won't put any more on you than you can bear. Let me stay there for a minute. Do you realize in your own individual life, there's not a trial you go through that you can't bear? God promised it to you. I don't care how tough it feels in the moment. God's always made a way out. And his instructions come through that word. You just apply that word, God will always make a way of an escape for you. I've needed that scripture a few times in my life, just to be honest with you. Maybe you haven't, but I've needed it. I've been in situations where I'm thinking, how do I get out of this? I've been in the blues so deep before, and I'm thinking, how do I get happy again? I've been in spots where I thought, is God real? And I'm thinking, how do I get back to with the joy of my salvation? But every single time, he's always made a way. He's always helped me along the way. He's always raised the standard. But the key is you got to take that standard or you ain't going to get helped. That standard is what the key is. He gives you the answer. That's why Brother Moore tells you all the time, the answer ain't start leaving church when you got those problems. The answer is get around the body that much more. Get around the word that much more. Let the preaching of the word start talking to you. Let the body start dealing with you. Get around God. God's the only thing that's going to get you out of that situation. Amen. And he's raised the standard every single time. Yeah. You know, it made me feel good. I was reading this week. It wasn't even involving this message. Brother Branham says, he's talking about flying saucers. And he said, I know you guys want to know what those flying saucers are. He says, I know what science says they are. But I loved his next statement. He says, but let's go to the Bible to get the answer. And that really stuck with me this week. I thought, the Bible has every answer for every situation. You may not see it at the time. You might need a preacher to show it to you in there. But I promise you, the Bible has the answer to every question that we have. His word covers it all. His brother Branham, as we know the story very well, he went back to the days of Abraham. He said, remember those investigating angels that came down to deal with Abraham? There was three of them. He said, because if you can't find it in the Bible, then it ain't real. You can call it aliens. You can call it some other planet. I don't find that in the Bible. Brother Branham knew where he was going to get his answer from. He said, it's in here somewhere. Let me find it. And he said, it's those investigating angels. And one day one of those might come and take you away. I'm okay with that, but I got the answer, and it's right there. Well, that was just around flying saucers, but every situation you go through in life, there's an answer from God for you, and it's in his word, and his word will take care and answer every question for you. Brother Branham says it because we have the full word today. We're not missing one iota of that word. He said we have the answer to all the devil's questions.
Amen. That's right.
He's always raised up a standard, and really it's always been connected to his word. Because that is how God moves. That's how he acts. That's how he behaves. But there's an answer here for you and everything. That stuck out to me. That was real to me this week. I thought,
Sometimes I thought I'm dealing with something so simple or something so out of bizarre. But God reminded me this week. He says, I got an answer for you on every situation you encounter. It's in the book. That makes me feel good. His brother Bram knew if you couldn't find those flying saucers in the book, they're not real. Why? Because the Bible also says God made everything. By him everything consists. Nothing consists that he's not making consist. Everything was created for him and by him. So if he can't find it where God created it and it's in his word, then it ain't real. I might hurt your feelings tonight. Maybe you thought there was flying saucers, but I'm sorry. They're not real. They're not in the book. That ain't what God created. Well, he's got his investigating angels. He showed up there in the book of Genesis. And I was here to tell you, you can find it in the book of Genesis or the book of Revelations where you're going to find everything. You'll find out what God created in the sea chapter. You'll have it showing up down here at the end time. But I like that answer from Brother Branham. But God raises up a standard always. David said, whom shall I fear? The Lord's got me surrounded. He'll raise me up on a rock, set me on revelation, hide me in the secret of his pavilion. He'll cover me over. David was a man that needed God. No matter how many of what we call mistakes David made, as we've said it before, you know, you can read about David a little bit. You'll find some things that break some people's top ten. But God always protected his seed. They tried to kill David, couldn't do it. And that's what he even said, this lion, he saved me from the bear, he saved me from the lion, head of Goliath going down. You can't get God's seed. He's always got to protect it. Always raises the standard. And in this day and hour, he's doing some of that protection through human flesh. And we got a part to play. Specifically that three levels of protection. And we love each other. Not work. I actually love you. I want to help you. I want to protect you. Don't try to make it like a task. It's just part of who we are. Care one for another. Edifying one for another. Protecting one for another. Preferring one another. Those are basic things, but they're still true. They've been in the Bible all this time, and they're still true today like they were back when they first put the Bible. Thank God for his protection. Thank God for taking care of us. Come on, Pastor. God bless you. You know, this seems backwards to me these days.
You're all out of shape.
God bless you.
Amen. I love the Word of God. Because what it shows me is that God's always had us in his plan. He's always had a part of himself that he wanted to hide and he wanted to keep and he wanted to protect. And he's done it from the beginning. God's never been caught off guard thinking, oh my goodness, what's going on here? He's never had to try to figure it out. Even when the devil would raise up something, God already knew. And he already made a way out before the devil even struck. That's what those four beasts were all about. Those beasts were already prepared from before the foundation of the world to come in and save the bride. That's what he's done. If he's done that, he's done that on major scale. And if he's done it on a major scale, he's brought that all the way down to you. As an individual, the same God that protected the world, the same God that protected the ages, the same God that protected the seven messengers, is the same God that protects you every day of your life. And you don't even realize it. We think we get up and we're going to do our little thing, and we try to do our little thing, and when we do our little thing, it ain't nothing. And God's got to keep us even in that. He protects you. He keeps you. It shouldn't be a strange thing that we would see that God protects us, because you can see it every day. You know, you see it in that we're not in situations that a lot of people in the world are in because of God's protection. and you get up in the morning and you drive to work and you don't know how many accidents the devil will try to make you have before between your house and your place of employment. But God protects you. Tells you to stop when the light turns green and you just stop a little bit. I remember one time the light turned green and I thought, I'm just going to sit here for a second and come around this truck. And if I had moved out in that intersection, I'd been right there. That wasn't me. That was him protecting me. You do things and you don't even know why you do it. Take a glass and you move it. A lot of times I'll tell him, I said, you better move that. I almost hate to do it anymore because I'll tell him in advance, you better move that or you better do this. If you don't, this is going to happen. And people don't always listen. And the next thing you know, it happens. And that's the way God is. He gives us protection and he gives us way out. But you have to receive it. Like Jeremiah said, you gotta accept his protection in order for it to work for you. You got a bodyguard and he tells you, you know what, you need to stay home today because there's rumors out there that, oh, I'm going anyway. All right, go on out there. You know. And same with God. He's protect and he ain't so worried about your flesh. He ain't protecting that. He don't care less about that. He really don't care. Because it always amazed me that how in the world could somebody serve God, be a prophet, be a disciple, do all these things, and they kill them, burn them, turn them upside down, crucify them, everything under the sun, car accidents. You think, out of all the people, you think God would just, you know, lay them down gently. God uses the body, and then when he's through with the body, he don't care. What do you do with your candy bar wrapper? You get that candy bar out of that wrapper, you ball that thing up, and I pray you throw it in the trash can. But I'm afraid some people just go. You don't care where it lands. You don't care. You don't care about the wrapper. And we want God to care about the wrapper. That's why we get all burned up, bent out of shape when we don't get our way. We want to do this and we want to do that. And God ain't worried about you and your wrapper. He's wanting a candy bar. He wants the real you. That's what he's protected all this time. That seed that's in there, that's what he's protected. It's not, Brother Brown said, it's not you that's predestinated. It's that seed that's predestinated. It's not you. You are not so pretty that God's got to have you. You're just a rapper. He wants that life that's in there. And he wants to use that life. And he'll use you and he'll protect that life the longest day you live until he's finished with it. And when he's finished, you could be 12, you could be 15, you could be 20, you could be 60, you could be 90. When he's finished, he just takes his candy bar out of there and throws the wrapper over his shoulder. He don't care how the wrapper lands. I don't care which side of the paper that lands on the ground. If it were me. You don't care about that. And that's the same way it is with God. He's protecting the life that's in you. He protected that life before you even born again. A lot of people think that God is protecting you because you're born again. No. He protected the seed when it was a seed. He put the church ages in play when you didn't even know there was a seven church ages. He built a bride body and put a spirit on the age. That spirit is to protect us in the age that we're living in. That's why we're the eagles. That's why we know what we know. And we do what we do because God has given us protection for the age that we're living in. That's why we are who we are. Thank God for his protection. Come on, musicians. Jeremiah said something about announcements. Oh, you got to do that too?
I got it. This Friday is Jada's graduation, 4 p.m., Victoria Theater. And then this Sunday, don't forget, for those that are here, we're going to have a Sunday morning service. Those that want to dress casual, it's casual day. And because we're going to have a cookout, pray for good weather so we can maybe do some things outside. And there will not be any Sunday evening service. And then the following weekend is the Sisters Fellowship, June 1st at noon. And then don't forget the campouts coming July 20th. And sign up in the back. And I'll talk more about that with some details here soon. And then Brother James and I travel down to Kentucky June 8th to 9th. And the one thing I will put up, I'm just going to give you dates right now, because there will be some plans around it, in October 17th through the 20th is some fellowship down in South Carolina again. And where Brother Moore's not necessarily taking the whole church this time. There'll be a limited number, more details to come. But October 17th to the 20th, we'll get that up there on the board. We'll be going down. Some of us will be going down to South Carolina. So God bless you. Amen.
Thank you. Yes, you may. That's right. Grab a microphone so everybody can hear you.
Caterpillars the Butterfly will have their open house for their new headquarters, and it will be May the 31st from 12 to 6, and I would like everybody to come. Amen. And we'll post it up there.
Yeah, it'll be posted on the board back there,
yes,
so
sir.
You don't forget. Amen. Well, I really want to sing Thou Art My Hiding Place, but I can't find it. But we know that, don't we? You know what key? Huh? That's a good place to start. Thou art my hiding place. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt prepare me.
Serve me.
From evil. All right, I don't remember it. I can't remember it, but we got to find that song. How about Wonderful Ways? Let's do that one. That's what I was going to refer to. I want that song. We'll do that. That's a beautiful song. He's preserved me, and he kept me from evil. And it ties right into what Jeremiah's message was tonight. Amen. Psalms 91, read it this week, the entire chapter, to go along with Jeremiah's message. Psalms chapter 91. Amen. He made us to know him, to love and to serve him. We do not deserve him, and all of his grace. He made us to praise him, to seek him, to seek him, and then to express. Yes, he made us to know him, to love and to serve him. God knows we do not deserve him, and all of his grace. See you.